Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
I'm fine, sweetie. Everything is wonderful. It's a beautiful day, and everything is good. The trial is going on and on and on and on and on. The trial of the century, or the trial of the most famous trial or infamous trial in American history, is going on. And I guess that's the biggest news. What's going on with you, sweetie?
I guess there's a lot of stuff going on. We just had the Kentucky Derby, and that's always fun. And we forgot to mention on the last episode that it is National AAPI Month. We want to give a shout out to the Asian, Pacific Islanders, Asian American Pacific Islanders.
Yes,
we want to give a
yes.
shout out to them.
And absolutely.
So, positive vibes for them. And also, there was supposed to be a big festival, the Lovers and Friends concert that was going to happen in Vegas. And unfortunately, it was canceled due to bad weather. Of course, you know, it was going to be Usher and Alicia Keys and Mary J. Blige and Janet Jackson and so many people. And they had to cancel it. But Usher decided to give a little impromptu performance on the day of the concert, at night, 1:30 at night. And he stayed for two and a half hours, him and Little John, to, you know, give them a little concert. So I felt bad for everyone, but Usher is a true professional and is always coming up with ways to entertain his fans.
Okay, shout out to Usher. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Ma, I guess we should do a toast for AAPI month. Oh, wait a minute. Let's give a toast to the Dallas Mavericks, too. They're going to the second round. We forgot about the Dallas Mavericks.
Yay, Mavs. Okay, good for you. And I must say, I don't want to speak prematurely, and I hope I'm not saying anything that is going to change what's going on in any way, and I'm pretty sure it won't. And I'm not superstitious, but I just want to say, shout out to Kyrie.
Oh,
I'm so happy Kyrie is doing his thing.
Uh-oh.
And letting his
He's
talent show.
He's listening now. I'm just playing.
Shout out to the Mavs, and shout out to Kyrie. Okay, let's lift our glasses to long life, prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness, and continued success to the Mavericks, and happy AAPI month.
Correct.
Salud.
Yeah. Salud.
Lovely cocktail.
Okay. Speaking of cocktails, or fights, I should say, beefs. So now we know the beef is going on right now with Kendrick Lamar and Drake. And it is very entertaining to all rap fans and music lovers alike. But there's a lot about the beef that we really just don't even understand, like where it even came from. This is just kind of based on some of the things that we've heard. We don't know, of course. But we've been hearing some good music over the past, I guess, couple of weeks, right? Especially from Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Now, supposedly, all of this started, so 2011, Kendrick Lamar makes an appearance on Drake's album, Take Care. February 2012, Drake invites Kendrick Lamar to be his opening act on the Club Paradise tour, and he also invited A$AP Rocky. October 2012, the two of them collaborate on Poetic Justice from Kendrick Lamar's debut album. Then in August of 2013, Kendrick Lamar takes a shot at Drake and other rappers on Big Sean's Control. Then in August of 2013, Drake acts like nothing really happened. In an interview with Billboard magazine, he's like, oh, it's all love. September 2013, Drake says it's still all love between him and Lamar, and they had seen each other 5 days before. He don't know what any of this is, all the talk. October of 2013, Kendrick Lamar disses Drake again in the BET Hip Hop Awards cipher. Then in December 2013, Drake tells an interviewer he feels like Kendrick Lamar is baiting him. Then between 2014 and 2020, the two of them take shots at each other back and forth on several different diss tracks. Then in October of 2023, J. Cole collaborates with Drake on First Person Shooter. And in that song, he refers to the Big Three, and J. Cole calls himself Muhammad Ali, meaning the greatest of all. And Drake starts talking about comparing himself to Michael Jackson and his popularity. And then in March of 2024, Kendrick Lamar blasts Drake and J. Cole on Like That, you know, making this thing about the Big Three. He wasn't happy about that. And then in April of 2024, Drake calls Kendrick Lamar a pipsqueak on push-ups. And then April 30th, Kendrick Lamar releases Euphoria. And then May 3rd, Kendrick Lamar follows up with 616 in LA. And then May 4th, Drake responds with the third diss track called Family Matters. And then Kendrick Lamar responds to Drake with Meet the Grams. Then Kendrick Lamar comes up again with Not Like Us. And that is where we are. Now, we know there's a lot of stuff going on back and forth, Ma, where there's all types of claims where Drake is claiming that Kendrick Lamar beat up his wife or fiance. I'm not sure if they're legally married or not. And then talks about referring to her as being biracial and, you know, that being an issue, and how Kendrick Lamar was supposed to be the king, but he had to be with somebody who's, you know, light skin. Then Kendrick Lamar accuses Drake of being a pedophile and grooming women and being a deadbeat dad and having a second child, a secret child. So there's a lot of stuff going on in there, Ma. What are your thoughts about this whole beef? I hope I explained it to everyone.
Yeah, okay. You know, my thought is this. I hope that the goal is to bolster sales, you know, bottom line. No, I mean, that's exactly how I see it.
Okay.
I'm very cynical about it. If it isn't to bolster sales, what's the point? Okay? I know I wouldn't have been listening to it so intently if I hadn't thought it was some kind of feud going on.
Yes.
Oh, what's going on? It piqued my interest. Oh, my goodness. Okay? I'm going to say this. Let's hope it all ends in peacefully, harmoniously, and let's hope it's all wonderful showmanship. And that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. Do you think it should end now? Do you think that Kendrick has said enough and done enough to where now?
Well, I don't know what the enough is, but if it stays within the realm, mm-hmm. if the nature and scope, let's say scope, mm-hmm. the nature's already kind of rough, but let's say the scope of it doesn't go any further.
Has it gone too far, you think?
As long as it's all words, it's all words.
Okay. Do you think there's any truth?
And we know the words have to be titillating.
Do you think there's any truth behind any of these words?
There's some truth in almost anything.
Okay.
How much truth and who's telling the greater truth and whose truth has the greater relevance. Mm-hmm. That gets very subjective and you really have to take a deep dive to go there and know all that.
Right.
We can all talk about superficial things that we can see, mm-hmm. you know, but I just hope it stays nonviolent.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah,
because the other thing, too, is that if it's between two people, it's between two people. But when the scope widens, everybody may not be on that page.
Right.
You know, you're pulling in this rapper and that rapper or this person and that person. Well, do they see it that way?
And J. Cole.
Are they going to respond?
J. Cole actually apologize to Kendrick Lamar for getting involved in
See, that's it. See, because if it's Kendrick and Drake, then it's Kendrick and Drake,
right?
But then you have your people and team, and then I have mine,
right?
Gee, is it a family feud now?
Right.
Is it the Hatfields Hatfields and the McCoys or what's going on.
Kendrick is saying that Drake has a bunch of ghostwriters and that he can't trust his team.
I heard a lot of it I understand. And yeah, so like I said, I would like the scope of it to be narrower, but it's too late for all that.
Yeah.
Let's just hope whatever is going on, it doesn't go to violence. As long as they keep it at words, words can hurt and be hurtful, but words can also be creative and be inspirational. Words can be a whole, words can make you more insightful, you know. So many things can go on when it's words, but we just don't want it to go any further.
Well, you know what?
We just don't want it to escalate the violence. The words can go on forever,
right?
But we don't want it to go someplace else.
Well, you know, I prefer Kendrick Lamar as an artist over Drake. And
I do too.
And it's funny just like comparing the two, because obviously Kendrick Lamar has had the most success as far as critical acclaim.
Yes.
And Drake has had more commercial success.
Right.
But we'll see what's going on. Like right now, like I said, it's very entertaining, and I'm like you, as long as it stays within just words,
right,
and it doesn't turn into anything else.
And the words can and will go on. Whether or not it will take the form of personal attacks and all that kind of stuff, I don't know. And I'm not sure. And I'm also not sure about the genesis of it. We can trace it back to so far. But, you know, sometimes things have transpired when there's like a real beef, quote unquote. Things have transpired that we don't know about.
Oh, of course.
You know.
We have no clue what really happened, and so, what really went down.
And so, you know, I'm not even going to go there with it. I'm just going to just always default to, I just don't want it to go to violence.
Right.
And that's it.
I think we both agree. It's entertaining right now, but probably should maybe stop soon. Okay. So let's move on to the next topic.
Or change the nature of the conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ma. So let's move on to Miss Keisha Cole, who's in another beef.
Okay, Keisha.
Yes, Ma. So, you know, Keisha Cole seems to like a certain type of man. And you know what type of man that is?
No. Is it her husband type?
It is a younger type.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I'm okay with
good.
That.
Good for you, Keisha.
We mentioned this in another episode where she apparently appears to be dating a 24-year-old. And Keisha is 42 years old.
Okay.
And, well, the problem is that this guy posted, he's a rapper, I think his name is Hunzo or something, I don't know.
Okay,
anyway,
right.
he posted a picture of him and his ex-girlfriend on Instagram, and it kind of drove Keisha Cole a little bit insane for a few minutes or so, because she shut down her whole Instagram account for a little bit, then she regrouped. And she came back on, and she either realized, or, you know, this is the information she's putting out there, that the picture was taken, you know, a while back.
Right.
And that her man is not with the rappers, because it's a female rapper.
Okay.
And it's a male rapper. That they're still exes, and that was an old picture. So
okay,
picture,
but why was
better.
It posted recently?
Well, maybe they're promoting a song.
Okay.
Or I don't know.
Okay.
But do you think...
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Okay.
Jessa, do you think it's a bad look for Keisha to even put out there who she's dating? Because she's had some, you know, kind of high-profile relationships, and she got burned publicly.
Okay. Well, I don't know what this burned publicly means, but anybody knows if you are
Antonio
in a relationship...
Brown.
Yeah, well... But anybody knows if you're in a relationship... Hey, you win some, you lose some. Better to have loved than lost than never to have loved at all. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about that, because you never know when any couple may break up.
It's true.
You know how relationships can be.
Right.
You know, it can be yours in the morning, somebody else's in the afternoon. I mean, you know, not saying that they all are like that, but some do
are.
Have those very in-the-moment type qualities, you know. So nothing wrong with that. The only thing I want to say is, you know, Keisha, don't show your arse, okay? Don't come with all this petty jealousy. Don't be petty LaBelle, okay? I mean, you know, maintain your cool. Maintain your decorum, okay?
Yes.
All right? I mean, come on. You've had plenty trim at this point. You know, so just behave. Okay, act like the woman that you are. Act like the fabulous and talented woman that you are. That's all. Go with whoever you want to go with. But don't be out here bugging and acting like you're flipping the lid over any little thing. And jealousy does not work out. Understand, when you feeling jealous, you need to control that emotion. Okay? It's not going to help you. In any scenario, it's not going to help you. Okay? Yeah. So that's all, Keisha. Other, do your thing, but don't be out here acting the fool over anybody.
It's not that's worth all. It at the end of the day.
There you go. So other than that, do your thing. Do what you want to do with whoever the hell you want to do it with.
I have nothing to add to that, Mai. You said that very eloquently.
Okay.
And finally, we wanted to just kind of mention the Dak Prescott, Mai. We know that, you know, he will not be charged after he was accused of sexual assault in an alleged incident in 2017, which was after his rookie season. An investigation which has been closed determined there was insufficient evidence that a crime was committed.
Okay.
Now, we know that this woman was accusing Dak of sexually assaulting her in 2017.
Oh, my goodness.
And we know that Prescott, maintained his innocence.
Yeah.
Then nothing happened that wasn't consensual.
Okay.
So... okay. Well, and she wanted to get $100 million from him. That's what she
was
doing.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we know she wanted to get some money. I hope, in fact, that there was nothing to it. And if, in fact, he is innocent and not guilty legally and in reality, I hope justice was served for both parties, for the young lady and for Dak. That's what I want to say. I hope justice was served.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Happy for Dak. Dak always seemed like a good guy. And, you know, I don't want to say this, but I am going to say it. We just have to kind of just be careful with who we hang around because you just never know.
That's for everyone. That's everybody, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Right on, daughter. Right on.
Okay, Mai, we have to talk about this mini series that everybody is talking about. Everyone. Okay, Baby Reindeer. Now,
yes,
it is a mini series that's based on a true story following the character of Donnie, a bartender and a up and coming fledgling comedian who is dealing with a stalker of all stalkers. And it's just, you know, it's a true story and it's a very unique story. There's also a sexual assault that's involved in this, and it's more to it than meets the eyes. The actor Richard Gadd is also it's also based on his real life.
It's a sort of autobiographical, right? Kind of, yeah.
right
docuseries.
So yeah. Mai, I'll let you start with Baby Reindeer. What are your thoughts on it?
As you were talking, first of all, let me just preface it by saying I loved it. Top shelf, 9.5. Okay? Top shelf. I loved it because there was so much there to be engaged with, so much there to dissect. I loved it. You know what? As you were describing it, you said this was a super stalker. But guess what? In my mind, the person was, in addition to being a super stalker, the person was also at one point his lover, his sex partner. You know, many stalkers you've never had sex with. He had sex with this woman.
I thought that was a dream.
I thought
that wasn't real. I thought
at some point he did have sex with her.
I thought that was a dream. I thought that he
maybe it was a dream that he wanted to have sex with her.
Yeah.
But at some point,
that's what I thought.
Was it? Maybe so. Maybe I slept through it. Maybe I misunderstood it.
At some point,
I thought that he did have sex with her, but maybe he did not. Okay? I can't swear to that part. I can say this. He developed an emotional attachment to where he wanted her and needed her validation that she saw him as somebody desirable. I will say that is clear.
I really want to look up and see about that because...
Okay.
No, because you mentioned that and we, you know...
Maybe not. That's okay.
I was just going to say, I was watching it, you know, with my husband, and we were both confused about whether or not that actually happened or it was a dream, because the way he was talking, it seemed like it didn't happen, but then it looked like it could have been real too.
Let me tell you this. Guys. No. That's okay. Either way, guess what? He is the real thing that did happen. He developed also, he became aware of his need for her validation. That was the big part.
Yeah.
Not even if he was physical with her or not, whether it was real or imagined or whatever, you know, but that he had an emotional attachment to her, which many people never develop for a stalker. So that was an added dimension. Remember, he listened to her tapes over and over. He, you know, her
writing.
Well, just
writing. To let you guys know, there's some spoilers in here.
Okay, fine. Let me just say this. This is what was an added dimension. Not the physical piece.
The emotional piece.
Right. And that was what was so strong.
Okay.
And that was what gave it an altogether different element. We've seen many stalkers and they just were no longer connected if they had ever been connected. You know, we've seen a lot of, but this one was different. This one was him wanting her to come back to the bar, him listening to her stories.
Yeah.
You know, it was that part of it. Okay. That is missing from a lot of these, you know, traditional and conventional stalker type things.
Yeah.
You know. So, I loved it. That's all. I'm not, because I'll keep talking and say too much.
No,
Don't dwell on what is not significant with either way. I don't know, either way.
Well,
except for the part that made it so different. Acknowledgement at some point that he really had developed a kind of validation of her and a kind of need for her in his life.
Well, there was just a lot with his character that was very real and very flawed. And I think that was different. And he was very vulnerable. A lot of times in a lot of shows that you watch, a lot of things are supposed to be so black and white. Even if they aren't really black and white, they try to make it like that. And here, I think that there was a lot of things that were a little bit ambiguous, and that was on purpose. And that's more like real life.
Right.
Like, it's not that everyone is completely innocent and everyone is completely a victim.
Yeah,
And I thought that was really interesting.
Absolutely. Always shades of gray.
And so many different things happened in this series. It was changing. Like, it wasn't predictable. And I thought
absolutely not.
Right. And I thought that was really, really, really good. It is, you know, a lot to take in. It is definitely not for children, but I highly recommend it. I wasn't expecting it. I really just wasn't expecting what I saw. There was a lot of compassion that came in this series. I know people are online stalking to see who the real stalker is and to see who the sexual predator is in the business. So guys, I'm with you, Ma. I'm gonna do Top Shelf 9. Highly recommend it. Binge it. The episodes are like a half hour.
Yeah, and very short episodes.
7 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into our movie of the week. Well, first off, I know you did not see Unfrosted, right? You did not see that.
No, I did not. I didn't have a chance.
This is not the movie of the week.
I was doing celebrations and everything else, so I really didn't have a chance to look at Frosty.
Yes, you did. You forgot it. You didn't mention that.
Okay.
You didn't mention about your celebrations, but I'll leave that alone.
Okay.
Yes,
I had an early Mother's Day celebration, guys, which was fabulous as always.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that you had a good time.
Thank you, daughter. Thank you for everything.
Of course.
Thanks to my daughter and son-in-law. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, well, you're an excellent mother.
Yeah, well, we know that's right.
guys, let me just briefly talk about Unfrosted. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld, Hugh Grant, Melissa McCarthy, Amy Schumer, Bill Burr, John Hamm had a cameo, Cedric the Entertainer, and it's loosely based on the story of the creation of Pop-Tarts. That's pretty much what this is about. It is not good. It is so bad that you want it to be one of those pictures where you can do like a drinking game. It just didn't make much sense to me. You know, Amy Schumer was supposed to be like a bad guy, bad woman. Jerry Seinfeld was supposed to, they showed him when he was supposed to be younger and he was, you know, struggling, a business person in advertising. And it just didn't fit to me. I'm going to say that it was supposed to be funny, but I didn't laugh at all. I am going to give it a hooch two.
Okay.
So just wanted to...
Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. Really bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So let's get into our actual movie of the week, which is The Idea of You, which was based on the novel written by Robin Lee, guys. And it stars Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galazine. So Anne Hathaway plays a 40-year-old art gallery owner, Celine, who was forced to take her teenage daughter and her friends to Coachella after her ex-husband bails out at the last minute. And she meets Hayes, played by Nicholas, who is the lead singer of the group, August Moon. And this is a story of their courtship and their love. And I will just start off by saying I actually really enjoyed it. I liked the chemistry between the two of them. I thought it was romantic. There were a couple of flaws in the movie, but overall I thought it was really well done. The acting was good. His singing voice was good. He's attractive. I didn't have an issue with it. I think the daughter, they made her too old for some of the issues that they had. I think if you have a 17-year-old daughter that's a senior in high school, you aren't as concerned about, you know, worrying that she can't handle her mom having a relationship. I would think at that stage of the game, the daughter would want her to be happy, would want her, which she did. The daughter kind of did, but I don't think that the mom would use that as an excuse for her not to pursue a relationship.
Okay, I don't think not just a relationship now. You know, there was some little special things about this relationship. I guess we don't want to go into
what about the age or the tour?
That he was a pop star and all that. I do agree that the daughter at 17 years old should have been able to understand and accept it or reject it. And more to the point, the mother should have been able to say, well, if you aren't able to do it at 17, you need to, you know, you're going to have to step up to do it. Yeah, because you're not a child and you need to be a few weeks away from adulthood, legal adulthood.
Right.
You know, so, and your own, and pursuing your own life, and you won't even care whatever, you know, is going on with me. So that's where I agree with you 1,000% that they made the daughter a little too old for the mother to have that perspective about her daughter.
Right.
You know. And the ex-husband,
oh God,
he was, I won't even go into what he was except to say he was a very unsympathetic character.
Right.
Okay, just put it that way about him.
Right.
You know, I won't call him a cheating bastard and everything, but I'll just say he's nobody that you would waste any sympathy on for sure.
Why not?
He
was great.
Yes, he was terrible.
He was,
you know, so I thought he was a lot. But he did love his daughter.
Right.
And I thought he was good with that part, that piece of it. I thought he played the character well.
Yeah.
He played the character well. And I liked it. I thought it was sweet.
Some but what about was, the Nicholas was, and Anne?
I'm going there. Some of it was a little sad at times, you know. But I thought overall, I thought it was very good. I love happy endings. I'm not going to tell you if this one had a happy ending or not, but I'll just say that I personally love happy endings.
Well, let me cut in there, Ma, because for people who have read the book, a lot of the people love the book, but they complain about the ending. And so they switched the ending up for the audience because they said we can't have that ending like the book. So
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. I thought it was very sweet. I loved it. I embraced the whole concept of the, you know, May, December, either way. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved it. And I really kind of liked it more because, you know, the woman was December and the guy was May. I really liked that more. So you know.
Did you like him in this? Because I know you've seen him in Mary and George.
I loved him in it. I liked him in it much more than I did in Mary and George. I saw him as entirely better looking. I saw him as more sexy. I saw him just very differently. I saw him just completely differently. Well, he's playing such a different character.
Yeah.
You know, and Mary and George, he's always one foot on the ledge and they're over here and over there. Oh, please, you know. But in this one, he's, you know, he's very much his own man. And, you know, he's just a totally different character. You know, a lot more appealing. You know? And he is good looking anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I highly recommend it.
What do you give it?
I'm going top shelf 8.5.
Okay. We were probably around the same. I was going top shelf as well.
Okay.
Oh, God. I was between 8.5. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I really enjoyed it.
Alrighty.
Okay. So let's talk about... I was going to talk about Sugar, but I think we can save Sugar for next week. Although in this episode, we saw that Sugar... has found out that his, what's her name, Kirby, I don't know her character's name.
Yeah.
But, you know, his good buddy, he thought, has been lying to him.
Right.
And actually kind of got him in trouble. He almost got killed because of
Well, she just alerted some potential dangerous people to that he was coming. But she did tell them to get out.
Yeah.
She said get out so they would not hurt him.
Yeah.
Not to stay there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to, you know, think about that too.
Yeah.
Because from her perspective, she was saving him.
That's true.
You know, they were bad guys, but she was saving him.
Right.
But I found out something even more so than that.
What?
That Sugar is just somehow just a superhuman being or some other being.
Well, what was that at the end?
Well, that's what I found out.
Didn't he turn blue?
Yes, he did. He took an injection in his neck,
yeah.
An intravenous,
yeah.
Right? In
yeah.
his neck.
Yeah.
And turned blue.
Yeah.
Now, that's not like most of us usually do.
You don't know what I do when I wake up in the morning.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so we'll see what happens in the next week's episode of Sugar. And finally, before we get into the comedy special.
I just want to add Colin Farrell is fabulous in Sugar, too.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course. We need to talk about Hacks. Now, Hacks has returned for its third season. And, you know, Deborah Vance, Miss Jean Smart, is having the year of her life, the comeback year.
Absolutely.
Her special is just banging, and everybody wants a part of her. And,
yeah, her character. Know,
her character.
Deborah Vance.
Her character,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's doing pretty well in real life, too.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so it was really good to see that because, you know, when the series first started, you know, she was kind of, you know, trying to come back.
Right.
And now she's already, like, I think she was in Top 100 Time magazine.
Oh, yeah. She's doing her thing.
She's doing her thing this season.
With her two new writers.
Yes.
Yes.
And she does run into Ava, of course, and Miss Hannah Einbinder, who is working on another show. And I guess she's okay. And she has a girlfriend, and I guess they live together.
They live together, yeah.
But she seems not quite happy. Like,
right.
Something is
she
missing.
She seems to miss Deborah.
She does.
She misses Deborah.
Because Deborah fired her.
Right.
I forgot that Deborah
let
her go.
Oh, yeah. Deborah fired her. And she fired her and kind of severed their relationship completely.
Yeah.
And Ava is unhappy about it.
Yes. She's having a hard
time.
She's
hurt and angry about it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we only saw the first episode. I know they have a second episode out, but the first episode was really good, really cute.
I think it's just a really good cast. I think they work so well together.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. So, we'll see. You know, we'll tell you some more about it next week. Okay?
Okay.
So, Mel, we have to get into the comedy special that is breaking the internet. I don't know if it's breaking the internet, actually. Cat Williams, Woke Folk. Now, it was an hour. It was, you know, I don't think it went over an hour. Kat came out. We didn't know what was going to happen because Kat has gotten, you know, a lot of notoriety, especially on Club Shay Shay. It broke all type of records. And Shannon Sharp said famously that he made more money from that episode than he did, I think, one season in the NFL or something like that, he said. Yeah, so he made a lot of money from that. So, you know, good on Shannon. And Shannon is a Hall of Famer mm-hmm. and a 3-time Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. So, Ma, what are your thoughts on Cat Williams' woke folk? I'll, you know, just say to start off that he played it kind of safe for the most part for him.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, go too crazy. I think he had parts where he was funny. And I think he had a lot of times when it was just, mediocre. Go ahead.
I'm going to say I've seen Cat Williams be a lot funnier. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've, you know, seen him do stand up where I was just, and he had me in total stitches. Mm-hmm. I was just laughing until I cried. Okay. Because he was so funny, foolish, silly, and insightful all in one.
Yeah.
Okay. Offensive and yeah. everything else all yeah. in one. This one I didn't think was so inspiring. This one I would say I would give him, if I'm grading with a letter, I'd give him a C.
Well, what about
on our scale, I'm going to give him a low premium. I'm not going into Hoochville. It wasn't Hoochville.
It wasn't Hooch, no.
I'm giving him a low premium.
I don't know.
Six?
A six? Okay, that's like a mid.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. It was worth watching for me. I enjoyed it well enough that, you know, I didn't say, oh my goodness, I wasted an hour or whatever. No, it was worth watching, but I did not feel it was particularly funny or particularly inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was offensive and not in a creative way, that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of it. Cat is definitely capable and worthy of better material.
Well, here's the thing, too.
That's what I kind of
Here's the
really
thing that,
thought.
You know, yeah. As I'm listening to you talk right now, he's on tour right now.
Yeah.
Where he has several people who are opening for him. We know one is Monique, and we didn't talk about Monique and her foolishness when she still has in her mind to talk bad about Oprah and Tyler Perry and calling them all type of names when she needs to just go ahead and go get a job doing maybe something in drama. She does not need to be a comedian. She's not funny and she's becoming annoying. You know, I always, you know, try to support everyone. I know Monique has a lot of talent as an actress, but I'm beginning to think that she's confusing real life, you know, with her, one of her characters. And y'all know which character I'm talking about. And it's not a compliment. So, what I was trying to say about Cat Williams with this smile, maybe he didn't take as much time working on this special because he's doing another tour. I don't know. I have no idea because Cat wasn't as clever as I thought he was going to be. The sex jokes seem like something like a teenage boy would tell.
Yep.
The reparations, you know, Dave Chappelle did it much better.
Right.
When he did the skit.
Right.
The Hunter Biden stuff. What was the point?
Out of left field. Why are you even talking about Hunter Biden at this point?
Right.
Hunter Biden's not running for anything.
Right. It's fair game to talk about Biden. It's fair game to talk about Trump. That was fine. You know,
well, we understand that. That has some relevancy, but everybody knows Hunter Biden is a self-avowed recovering drug addict.
Yeah.
He doesn't hide that. Everybody knows that. What do you, you know?
I'm not sure where that was coming from. And then the thing about Diddy, that was silly. You know, whatever. I don't know. I just didn't find it, you know, original. And I know that Cat could do better. But it wasn't the worst that
I saw. He generally does better.
I think the thing is the bar is set high for him and right. he didn't meet that bar.
Right.
So
it was below his own standard.
Yeah. So listen, we still recommend you watch it. I'm going to go a premium as well. I probably will go maybe about like between a six and a half. I was somewhere in there. We're kind of,
okay,
you know, thinking alike this
okay.
episode.
Okay.
Okay. So we still watch it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Now, Ma, since we're talking about comedy specials. I have a list of some of these you may know, some of you don't. The top 25 comedy specials. I'm going to go quick because I know you love my long list. Some of these you've seen, some of them you haven't. Let me know if you think these are some of the best of all time. Leslie Jones, Problem Child, number 25.
Did not see it.
Do you think she's funny?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the time. Most of the time.
Number 24, Ali Wong, Baby Cobra.
I don't know Ali Wong that well.
But we saw her in Beef.
And I don't know if she was Ali, but you're talking about funny. Yeah. You know, I've seen her acting. I think she did a good job. Yeah. I don't see her as being so funny.
Okay. All right. Now this here, 23, Cedric the Entertainer, Taking You Higher. This is from 2006.
Nope, I've seen Cedric perform. Nope.
It's not funny. No.
Nope.
Number 22, Cat Williams, The Pimp Chronicles Part 1.
Yes.
2006.
Yes.
Okay. 21, Mike Epps, Underrated and Never Faded, 2009.
Nope. Don't think he's funny.
Nope. Number 20, Louis C.K., Chewed Up in 2008. Nope, I can't stand him.
Nope, do not like Louis C.K.
He was the one that was saying the N-word with Chris Rock on the stage and Jerry Seinfeld. Yes. And Jerry Seinfeld didn't think it was funny.
I don't think Louis C.K. is funny. Nope.
I don't either. Now, I don't know who this person is, Ma. Mitch Hedberg, Comedy Central Presents from 1999. You know, I don't know that.
Nope, skip it.
All right. Number 18, we just actually saw him. On David Letterman, John Mulaney, New in Town, 2012.
He's moderately funny. He doesn't knock me out.
I don't like his demeanor.
Yeah.
Something about it just kind of...
He doesn't knock me out. You know, I watched his interview with Dave because I love Dave Chappelle. David Letterman.
You love both of them.
Yeah, I love both of them. Both Daves. That's true. And so... that's all. I was really wanting to see Dave. You know, I didn't even care about who he was interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Number 17, Patrice O'Neal, Elephant in the Room. Now, I didn't see that, but I did see Patrice O'Neal live many, many, many years ago. And I think he was very funny.
Okay.
What about you?
I don't think I know the person.
Patrice O'Neal?
Yeah.
You really don't know him?
No.
Heavyset black man, he passed away.
I do think I know him. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He was very funny.
Yeah.
Number 16. Okay. Whoopi Goldberg, Direct from Broadway, 1985.
You weren't even born. Yes, Whoopi Goldberg. She used to do really funny stand-up. She really did.
Well, I'm sure. I think Whoopi's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
I mean, I was real young, too, at the time. But, you know, yeah.
Now, this one, number 15, Robin Williams, Night at the Met, 1986. Did you see that?
I don't remember that, but I thought Robin Williams was funny.
He was always funny. Yeah. Now, number 14, I'm not familiar with him as a comedian. Obviously, I know he's a comedian. George Carlin at Carnegie Hall.
George Carlin was brilliant.
Okay.
I don't know if he's even still alive.
I'm not
he
sure.
He was brilliant. Okay. I was a kid, young, you know, when I knew George Carlin, and he was brilliant.
Number 13, HBO comedy half hour, Janine Garofalo, 1997. I never thought she was that funny.
I never thought she was that funny either. More goofy than anything. Yeah.
Number 12, Kevin Hart. Seriously funny. 2010.
Kevin Hart is very funny.
Every
stand-up I've seen him do, he's funnier doing stand-up than anything.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
so,
when you just see him do around sporadically, you know, he's just playing a short guy.
But when
he does his stand-up, he's funny.
I think Kevin Hart is funny at stand-up, and I think he's funny just like during interviews.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's much better than that, than his movies.
Yeah.
To me. You know, him.
Oh, gosh, those movies. That's a different story. Okay.
All right. Number 11, Martin Lawrence, You So Crazy.
Yes.
1994.
Yes.
Now, you know that was funny.
Absolutely.
Now, this one, number 10, The Original Kings of Comedy 2000. Now, the funny one in there was Bernie Mac, but go ahead. I don't know what you thought.
Bernie Mac killed it. Bernie Mac was good, and
DL was pretty good.
Yeah, DL was good. I forgot the other one was Stephen Harvey and Sid.
Okay. Okay, number nine, Bill Burr, Let It Go from 2010. Now, Bill Burr is funny. He just doesn't care what he says.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but Bill Burr is very funny.
Well, you heard him going off.
I heard him. I've heard Bill Burr, and he's funny.
Like, real bad.
Yeah, I'm saying that specific work, but I know that he is funny.
Number eight. I have not seen old clips and footage of this one. Unless maybe I have my... Richard Pryor, Live on the Sunset Strip,
yes,
1982.
Honey. Yes, honey. You know, and at the time, and for what was happening, Richard was it. I don't think I ever seen him do an unfunny stand-up routine.
I have to watch a stand-up routine of his, like, just straight through, because I've seen clips.
And you have to appreciate it in the...
That, in the time.
Yes, right.
Number seven, George Carlin. You Are All Disease, 1999.
I don't remember that specifically, but like I'm telling you, George Carlin was all that.
Okay.
He was really good.
Number six, Dave Chappelle, For What It's Worth, 2004. Whatever I've seen of Dave Chappelle, I like.
It's been good. Yeah. Me too.
Okay.
When Dave is bad, he's good.
He's good. Yeah. Number five, Chris Rock, Bring the Pain, 1996.
Yep.
It was probably funny. I've kind of fallen out of favor with a lot of Chris Rock's things.
Because of his personal antics. Yeah.
I see a different side of him as he's gotten older and not good. But, you know, I still support Chris Rock overall, but he's just not so funny anymore. He was funnier back then.
Well, okay.
I don't know. Or what do you think?
I think he was funny.
In that, Bring the Pain.
Right. Which is what we're talking about.
Okay. Number four. Oh, I know you love this person. I was not born. Steve Martin, A Wild and Crazy Guy, 1978.
I don't like Steve Martin. I don't think...
Do you think he's funny?
He's funny sometimes, but I just don't like him because I know about him personally as a couple of little things and I don't care for him.
Okay. Number three, Eddie Murphy, Raw, 1987.
Totally and completely.
Eddie Murphy is.
Yeah, that's before your time. But for me, totally and completely.
But I've seen it because they show it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying.
Number two.
Very good, Eddie.
Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly.
Yeah, all the time. Yep. All the time. You know that's right.
Now, guess what? What do you think they have for number one?
I don't know. Just tell me.
Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Okay.
So, I'll give Eddie that. Which one did you like best? Delirious or Raw? I don't know which one. I only saw one of them.
I saw all of it, both of them. I don't remember whichever one he had on the Michael Jackson, the red.
That was Delirious.
Okay, that's it. Yep, that's it. Yeah, okay. That is it. That is so funny. Yeah.
Okay. So, we will say that Cat Williams Woke Folk won't be on that list, but... It was still
that particular performance may not be on there, but Cat Williams definitely is on there.
Yeah, he's on there.
That's right. I mean, deservedly so. Yeah. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Cat Williams is still all that. Okay, he's still Cat Williams. I'm just saying that I didn't think this was one of his stronger performances.
Right. He's still a funny guy.
Totally, absolutely.
Okay, Ma, I need you to tell me three things that made you smile.
The sun, the stars, the moon, my lovely Mother's Day celebration.
There's still a little bit more to come.
Okay.
All right. so for me, I'm going to go with Quinta Brunson will accept the 2024 Peabody Trailblazer Award. Positive vibes for her.
All right, shout out to Quinta. Okay.
Detroit welcomes a Black-run grocery co-op that took over 14 years in the making, and you know, positive vibes for that.
Congratulations to Detroit. Yes, absolutely.
And then finally, I think it's cool, there's the annual Disruptor Summit 2024, May 17th through 18th in Atlanta, where Black premier business owners connect, they uplift, they innovate. There's investors, creators. It's just an awesome experience to partake in. So, Ma, is there anything else that you want to say?
Yes, I was just thinking about it. For our girls' trip for next year, our girls' trip, we need to go to the Black Film Festival. Okay? That's our girls' trip for 2025.
Mom, please.
No, you reminded me of it.
Yes, okay. But we'll see where we go.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that'll be, yeah.
Okay.
But we do need to go to the Black Film Festival.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll be our girls' trip.
Okay. Well, right. You know, we have different plans for the future. Okay.
All right.
All righty.
So is that it, Mom?
That's it.
Okay. I'm surprised. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. As always, continue to follow us on all platforms, whether it's X, whether it's Threads, Instagram, Facebook, at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also All Things Peju. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, All Things Peju, home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. We're putting up the full episodes are going on YouTube, guys. We appreciate you, you know, for listening there. And we will let you know when we will actually be on video, so you can watch us.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys, for your support as always.
Stay woke and stay safe.
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll be talking to you soon.
Bye.